Hey, Tyrone, we were just talking about DeMar Phillips and kind of his play that sets up the penalty. DeMar, I'm sure you've heard, made Team of the Week for MLSsoccer.com. What have you seen from DeMar? First of all, welcome to the show, Tyrone.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah. Thought of being polite, yeah. Hey, Trey, how are you?
Good, Tyrone. How are you, buddy?
Good.
But I know he's a guy that you've known for quite a while, but what have you seen from DeMar here in the last few weeks? Makes MLSsoccer.com Team of the Week. Kind of what separates him in a week like this?
Well, I'll tell you what. DeMar has been really focused lately, being home. Seeing that he has consecutive games now that he's playing. You know, you can tell his game has just been elevated because of his steady lineup, so to speak, being in the starting 11, you know, consistently. So his game has definitely, you know, moved up to another level. And his injuries now is kind of taking a little back where, you know, he can play consistently. And I think that's helping him because, you know, just being with a back unit that's cohesive and, you know, guys are understanding his runs. And just feeling that freedom where he can get up and get back and, you know, guys cover for him when he does meet those overlapping runs.
He does look a lot more comfortable than he did last year. At least, I'll say this, in preseason, maybe some of that kind of popping in and out of the lineup may have affected him. But in preseason last year, I really liked what he was bringing up that left side. It seems like he's gotten back to a lot of that now. Is he more comfortable now?
Yeah, and you hit it the nail on the head right there. I think he's becoming more comfortable and understanding the guys around him, you know, play with either Joel on that side or Juan, you know, just understanding when those guys are taking the ball inside, he's making those overlapping runs. And also when Javi has the ball as well, you know, making those runs and knowing that he's going to get it, you know. And I think he just, like you said, just being real comfortable now and being who he is. You know, that we thought he should have been last year, but I think just having a year under his belt, now you're seeing the real DeMar Phillips that we expected of him last year.
Hey, Tyrone, I happened to be down on the field at the end of warm-ups on Saturday night. Kind of take us through what happened with Alave, and all of a sudden I noticed you putting Justin Glad through about 30 short-range headers while everybody else was rushing off the field, and that was my clue that maybe something was going on.
Yeah, so initially, you know, Alave, you know, had a little calf strain going in, but one warm-up he was doing great, and it's toward the last maybe minute or so, he tried to make a sprint or cut. And then, you know, once I hear Alave call my name, you know, in plain English, then I know, hey, something's not right. And so I ran over and he's like, hey, it's tightening up on me. I don't think I can go. And, you know, we just didn't want to make, to waste a sub, you know, telling him try to push it. So right away I got Justin going, you know, to get him ready to get into the game because, you know, Alave wouldn't be able to go, so I had to put Justin into the warm-up routine, get some headers, all that good stuff, and it worked out.
Tyrone, talk to us and the listeners about Justin's mentality, his makeup, because he seems like he's so mentally tough that being kind of thrown in that situation at the last minute, and I don't know if it's because he's young or just because he's Justin Glad, but he seems to deal with anything like that, any kind of last-minute curveball, if you will, very, very well.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, being young, you know, being a Justin Glad, where, you know, when you're young, you just basically you just throw it in. You know, you don't think about things. You just go full speed. And I think that's where Justin is right now. You know, whereas you get older, you start preparing mentally. You know, you're understanding the game. You're reading the game a lot more. And there's a lot more preparation going into it. But you know, when you're young and naive, you know, you just get thrown into the mix and you just go do your job, right? Because, you know, you have the energy, you know, you have whatever it takes to pull out whatever you need to bring out on any given day. And Justin have those tools. You know, he's a young guy, you know, he's smart, he's reading the game, he's learning, and he's the one that's been starting. So it's not like it's something new for him getting in there. It's just that we were trying to give Alave a go being at home, and maybe give Justin the game on the road in Vancouver just because we're going to be on turf. So it's nothing new to Justin. He's been playing there the whole time. It's just, you know, that particular night he was supposed to be off. And knowing that his number was called, he was ready to go because during the week, you know, our mentalities, we're all just preparing, center backs, we're all just preparing, you know, to start. It doesn't matter what it takes. And that's something I've always, you know, said to the center backs or the wing backs, so to speak, our back line, is always prepare, you know, in training that you're going to start. So just in case anything happens, you're ready to go.
What was his reaction when you told him? What was kind of his...
Yeah, Justin was like, huh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, just a happy-go-lucky kind of kid, you know, that's like he's in a candy store. All right, I'm ready. I'm good, you know? But that's Justin for you, man. Great guy, great kid, and just eager to do whatever it takes to, you know, to make RSL proud.
Tyrone, you've worked obviously very closely with Justin, and he's gotten a lot of the headlines this year being academy kid, sure. You know, the players joking on social media that he's Nap Orchard's son and stuff like that. But I think maybe lost a little bit in the hype is Aaron Mond's development into a top-tier center back in Major League Soccer, and obviously you deserve a lot of credit for that. But talk a little bit about the growth you've seen from Aaron over the last couple years.
Yeah, I think coming in last season, you know, I think Aaron was our fourth or fifth string center back, you know, and I sat him down one day and we just had a really good conversation, you know, just kind of talk about, you know, my journey in the MLS and, you know, kind of similar situation that we were in where, you know, I started, you know, I wasn't playing off the bat, but, you know, I kind of set my path, so to speak. And, you know, one of the messages that I sent to Aaron was, hey, your training habits is terrible. Plain and simple. I'm just trying to be honest with them. And I think that's the best recipe for those guys, you know, young boys. Just to be honest with them and tell them straight up what's going on. And they need to change their attitude. And once they change their attitude in terms of their training, you know, their training regimen and, you know, their sleeping habits, you know, going out, all that stuff, just change everything completely and start focusing and start being a professional player. And once the opportunity comes, can you take it and run with it? And I think Aaron took it last year. His training became better. You know, we're working after training. He was listening. He was paying attention because he was seeing, you know, everything I was telling him. He was seeing everything coming through, you know, coming to fruition, so to speak. And so Aaron became a student. And once he became a student, I knew I got him, you know. And he's now become, you know, one of those kids that just, he's always coming after training and say, hey, Tyrone, let's go do this. It's so work. You know, so he's always looking to become better. And that's what you want from a defender or a center back, is trying to improve your game day in and day out. Because, look, the league is growing. And everybody's getting better. They're getting stronger, faster. And any little tips you can pick up at training or during, you know, games, and we conversing about it after or before, is going to help him become a better player. And I think that's why Aaron is doing such a fantastic job so far, you know, is that he's our main guy now, you know, and we're pairing Aaron with everyone else as opposed to last year where Aaron was going to be in with this guy or that guy, you know. So, you know, there's just a tremendous respect for Aaron that he's done the job on and off the field. And, you know, I think he deserves all the credit that the backline gets.
A guy that we were saying similar things about a few years ago is Chris Schuler. And now with the injuries that he's had and the time he spent with the Monarchs, one of the number one questions I get from fans is, and I've got a lot of them personally, is where Chris Schuler is, how close he is to maybe making his return to Real Salt Lake. You've seen him in training. What is it you've seen from him and his progression since maybe a few months ago when he first got back on the field?
Well, what I've seen is that, you know, Schuler, Chris has been a tremendous, you know, guy in training. He's encouraging the young boys and, you know, his attitude's been fantastic. You know, his training is getting better. He's training consistently now, and that's the most important thing, to see how he reacts to consistent training. And the more he can train on a consistent basis or consecutive basis and have less, you know, reaction to, you know, the injury that he had before, then he's getting closer. And I think, you know, as we progress and have more practice at home, just because now we're traveling so much and we have so many games, that it's hard to get Chris on the pitch, you know. So we're trying to bring him back slowly, not rush him, because it was a really tough injury that he got. And knowing his history with the knee issue and all that stuff and his ankle, so we're trying to bring him along slowly. But I think, you know, Chris is getting there. You know, he's the one that's going to determine how he feels in terms of his body and all that stuff. But, you know, just from watching him in training, you know, Chris' attitude and his, you know, his fitness, his mentality. Everything is coming back. Everything is coming together. And, you know, I can't wait to see him back on the pitch, if that answers your question.
Tyrone, obviously we've focused on center backs, but I know that you and the staff, you talk about defending as a unit, so you're heavily involved in all the decisions that go into set pieces and just game day preparation for the outside backs, for the holding mids, et cetera, et cetera. What's your assessment of where Omar Holness is at after, I think, an excellent MLS debut in Dallas a couple of weeks ago? He was probably disappointed to come out at halftime Saturday night, but with a lot of games coming up in a tight space of time, is it possible that we'll see Omar get another chance to go back out there and put the pieces that he's learning, watching and playing together on the field?
Yeah, I think you'll definitely see Omar, you know, sooner than later. I think it was unfortunate that, you know, he came out on Saturday. But, you know, just one of those things. He was kind of the odd man out. You know, we wanted to put some more energy, you know, a little bit more experience in there, just to kind of kickstart the boys on Saturday. But, you know, as far as Omar, you know, is his transition, you know, into from the college ranks up into the pros, and having a good go is, you know, his debut in Dallas. I think you're going to see a lot more of Omar. I think he's just going to get confident, more confident. And I think once you start seeing that, you're going to see more on the pitch. He's going to come in more. You know, you might get a few more starts here and there. But this guy's the limit for the kid. You know, I see him every day in training. He has a great attitude, you know, fantastic kid. You know, so like I said, you're going to see him sooner than later. And I think you know, he's going to get better and better and better each game because he has a really good attitude and he's always looking to learn. He's always asking questions. So, you know, the sky's the limit for him if he continues to be humble.
When Montreal's roster comes out and you see that, and I would imagine you guys found out sooner than when their roster came out, but that Didier Drogba's not there. I know a lot of fans had kind of mixed reactions to that because on the one hand, you want to see the guy play. On the other, you kind of dodge a bullet by not seeing him play against your team.
Yeah.
From the coaching staff's perspective, what I mean, and for you as someone who's a fan of the game as well, what was your reaction when you saw that he wasn't traveling to Salt Lake?
Well, I'm going to give you a little statistics here because the funny thing is that if Drogba plays, you know, their record is worse when he plays than when he doesn't. Mm-hmm. So in the back of my mind, I was kind of disappointed that he wasn't there in terms of that. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, I'm a fan of the game. Of course, mm-hmm. you want to see the big superstars who, you know, get paid the big bucks, who you've watched on TV over the years, and now they made that transition from across the pond now, you know, here in MLS. So, of course, you're a little disappointed, yeah, because, you know, also you wanted to see how your defenders, you know, the boys that you're working with day in and day out, how they react to playing against, you know, high-caliber striker like a Drogba, you know, and see what their reactions are and how they, you know, respond to defending him and, you know, how their focuses are. So, you know, yeah, it was a little disappointing, but at the same time, you know, I was because, you know, it's one of those things, there's less firepower on the field. Because, to be honest, you know, Montreal is probably one of the better attacking 3-4 that we're going to mm-hmm. face the whole year. I mean, you know, you have Piatti, you know, you have Odoro who brings the speed. You know, you have Salazar who's on the left, on the right-hand side. But also, Ontivero, mm-hmm. you know, who I think, for me, is probably better than Salazar, but because he scored the last game, I think that's why he kept his position. But, you know, they have a fantastic attacking group. And, you know, it just, you know, we I thought we did well as well, you know, the defenders. Mm-hmm. But going back to your question, yeah, it was disappointing not seeing Drogba, but, you know, I'm fine with that.
How when you look at guys, the young guys on this team, the Justin Glads, and really Aaron can be mixed in there as well.
Of course.
How valuable is it to get tests against guys like that? And I guess weigh the, you know, it's valuable to test yourself, but it can be pretty pretty demeaning to your ego playing against guys like that as well.
Right.
How do you balance that? And I guess how do you know? I guess you don't really know until it happens. But how do you know how a player is going to respond to something like that?
Right. Well, it's you always give them that challenge, you know, and it goes back to I gave Aaron a challenge when he played against Sabo Rio, you know, in the D.C. game. I said, hey, look, you know, Sabo, you played against Sabo in training. No, I want you to go out there and dominate him. You know, as a center back, you should be able to dominate the attacker. And if you can dominate your attacker, then, you know, it says a lot for us as a defender. Now, if you shut that guy down, if you only have one striker up there, now, it makes it a little bit easier for us as a back group. And another instance I'll give you. So the other night, Justin Glad, you know, he's on Piatti, and, you know, Piatti make a move on him, turn him and all that stuff, and, you know, it could have been a situation where we might have given up a penalty kick. But unfortunately, Luke was there to recover in time to you know, be in a situation where the referee saw it, where, you know, we had a second defender, and, you know, he wasn't going to get the ball. And so my judgment from the side is seeing that, you know, I asked Aaron to switch with Justin. You know, just because the spur of the moment, I think that, you know, Justin was getting a little bit manhandled, so to speak, you know, by a professional player. He's a young guy. And so just to put a bigger body on Piatti just to deal with him and have Justin cover. You know, it wasn't against anything against Justin. It just me seeing that situation where, you know, I've been in that before, where, you know, if we make that sub or that transition where we put a bigger body, a stronger guy on him, maybe that could, you know, determine the outcome of the game. And it ended up being working out for us, because then Piatti kind of disappeared after that. But, and I said to Justin afterwards, I said, look, it's nothing against you. I have to make that judgment call where, you know, looking from the outside, I saw he turned you and he was getting the better of you. But, you know, just switching off just Justin and Aaron, it helped. And that's part of it. You know, it's a learning curve for you, and you just have to take it and deal with it, because I'd rather get the result instead of you going down and maybe, you know, having a penalty kick against you, and then, you know, your head goes down and all that stuff. So just knowing that we're looking out for you, and the next time when you're in that situation, you'll do better. You know, so if that you know, clarifies anything for you.
Tyrone, speaking of things you've been through before, obviously RSL the last several weeks has been in the midst of 3 games in 8 days, 5 games in 14.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we've had a lot of home games, and that's maybe why some of the drop points are so disappointing. But you go on the road. We had the long road trip earlier. When games are coming fast and furious, when we go on a artificial surface like we will on Wednesday night, when Kyle's coming back from national team duty or international duty, you know, what are just, I guess, some of the basic keys to, as a player, to just be able to deal with something coming back up on your radar so fast and so furious in short succession?
It's all about your recovery. You know, it's all about your preparation in terms of, you know, what are you doing to make sure that you're maximizing your recovery time, you know, so that you can go out on the pitch the next time around to get the maximum output. You know, so it's everything is to deal with your resting, you know, how you're taking care of your body in terms of your regen, you know, your ice bath, all of that stuff. It's just your preparation off the field now, you know, is going to determine, you know, how you maximize your output come game day, you know, especially in such a short turnaround, because we're traveling, you know, we're going to be on turf and all that stuff. So all of that, we know we've already been through that. So now it's just for us to mentally be strong, you know, be focused and getting your body right and ready to step on the pitch and give 100%. And that's all we're asking for, you know, for the players. And I think the guys who have responded very well, you know, in terms of, you know, having so many games back-to-back and a quick turnaround, that they're taking care of their body. They're doing the extra to make sure that when they do step on the pitch, you know, they're giving us the maximum output.
Tyrone, always appreciate your time, man.
Hey, always, guys. Hey,
great stuff, Tyrone.
Have a great day, and we'll chat with you tomorrow, Big Mac.
3 points in Canada, brother.
Hey, there you go. I'll take it any day.
All right.
All right, Big Mac. Take care.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.